This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it.
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
That's who you are, man. You, like, create these situations that could just easily pass by as just a one-off. But you will make it a real issue.
And Chris Ello.
Who's dinging?
That's me.
Okay, right. That's
not me.
Fine.
Not me.
Go ahead and ding to your heart's content.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
4 o'clock on the dot. I'm here. Petco Park. Padres preparing to take on the Rockies. 3-game set. Looking to get greedy after sweeping the Cardinals, the NL Central leading Cardinals. Shows you how much they've been putting in work. They got swept and still got a relatively nice cushion between them and the Brew Crew.
Yeah.
We got a little Chris versus the Fan coming your way. Chance to qualify for that Vegas trip. A two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Two luxury day beds, poolside, and a $250 food and beverage credit. Legendary Vegas fun. Where was I going with this?
You Darvish?
Yeah, you Darvish.
I don't know why I said you right there. What I meant to say was, do we have some contestants ready to roll?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. They are ready.
We had a caller last week that I believe we promised would get a chance to go first. Did they call back?
They sure did.
Oh, they didn't forget.
Remind me who the caller was again?
Our guy Richard.
Richard, that's right. We gave him a
tough
question.
Why does Richard get to go first? Because Scraby
Because Scraby put a whole bunch of number three questions in number one, and we asked him a number three question in the first question.
Uh-huh. And Richard always kind of gets screwed with the the question selection.
Kind of gets.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
it's the bad luck.
You're trying to lighten that up again a little bit, and then you're going with the word screwed.
Chris, you know Scrabe has a hard time, like, completely, like, going ahead and saying sorry or, like, being – it's only, like, partial. He said, he kind of gets screwed. I don't know.
Fine. Would you want me to come out and just say
– You butchered it. Just say, you know what, I butchered the first question and gave him a third question.
I can't say it.
No, you can't.
Okay. Let's get to some Chris versus the Fan.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Scrape, give us the rules.
Well, here's where you say you have to make it through three questions. Each question's going to get more difficult.
Richard is the contestant, then all the questions at the beginning will be difficult.
That's not very nice. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win.
The Fantastic.
All right.
Fantastic, all right. Tony says.
Let's get to our first contestant. We already know who it is. Richard, welcome back to the show. Happy Monday to you.
What's going on? What's my first question? What's the square root of the Statue of Liberty? I don't know.
That would be a great question, though.
We are going to give you a question one in your question one slot today. Let's get to it. Which team drafted Shaquille O'Neal in the 1992 NBA draft?
Thank you. The Orlando Magic.
The Orlando Magic. That is correct. Let the games begin. Which NBA legend has the nickname the Round Mound of Rebound?
Oh, that question is not terrible. It is not terrible.
Not terrible.
Sir Charles Barkley, ladies and gentlemen.
It's correct.
Wow. We've moved to question number three.
All right, here we go.
Which country won the first ever World Cup in 1930?
Let's go with Brazil. My son's a soccer fan. He's saying Brazil.
All right.
Brazil.
That's a good guess.
That
is a good guess, though.
Incorrect. Hang on. Hello for the steal.
Yes.
1930? He's just sitting there staring at me. Well, you were a teenager, so.
Cold-blooded.
Uruguay won a couple of soccer titles at the very beginning of the World Cup. I'm going with them.
I'm annoyed by that more than anything you could ever imagine because I thought there was zero chance.
Sorry, Richard.
I didn't know they won the first one, but I know they had won a couple at the beginning. And Brazil would have been my other guess, so that's pretty much all I had to
go by. So Richard took your guess, and then you went Uruguay.
I did. Well, Uruguay, like I said, look them up. They won a couple in the 1930s.
Look them up, he says.
Look up Uruguay, the Uruguayans.
All right, let's move to our next contestant. Toby, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Monday to you.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Not good.
We're doing well. We're doing well. Here we go. First question. Which is the only one of the four major tournaments that Phil Mickelson hasn't won? I think this might be more than the first question, too.
Probably. Oh, no, no, no.
The U.S. Open.
Hey, he's on it. Thank you, Toby.
See, look, you know how you know Scraby was sweating and he hit that Bing button so fast. They didn't even play the drama out at all on that.
No, because I just knew everybody knew it.
Oh, is that what it is, Scraby?
Did you not know it?
Most golf people.
I'm looking at the answers. Of course I know it.
Oh, that's
golf
true.
Golf people know it. But if you're not a golf fan, you wouldn't maybe know that. But
what are you going to get? Would you have guessed Uruguay, Chris?
What, for the tournament that Phil Mickelson hasn't won?
Yes. Somehow that's going to be right.
Let's go to question number two. What Padres pitcher came in second to Kevin Brown and wins in 1998?
Andy Bennis.
That is incorrect. Stay there.
I think Chris knows this, though.
I'm pretty sure he does.
I think it's Andy Ashby.
Oh, so close with the Andes. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I meant.
Get it together, man.
I know,
you just messed up
I
the
know.
Whole drama there.
I did.
Yes, it sorry, is Andy Toby. Ashby. We don't have a number of wins. But
oh, yes, he had 17.
17 man, wins. That's pretty sweet.
That is. That's a good number, too.
That would
right
win,
there.
Like, the league title nowadays.
All right. We're going back up to the top. We'll take Justin. Justin, welcome to the show. Happy Monday to you.
Justin just dropped.
Justin just gave dropped. Up.
Okay,
we're
let's
moving
go.
To Tyler.
Yes,
Tyler,
yes,
welcome
yes.
to the show.
You had a big opportunity there.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Good
what's
for
up,
you,
Tyler.
Doing well, Tyler. How about yourself?
Doing great. I just got Chick-fil-A, so I'm ready to go home.
Ooh.
Oh,
hey,
man.
Did you ask for extra sauces?
I didn't.
I believe it's the law.
Well, probably just, the right one.
Enjoy your Chick-fil-A, man. That is a quality meal. Right
Chick-fil-A there. Has a shortage of sauces, Chris.
Oh, they do?
Yes, they're only giving you like one per ten nuggets now.
Oh, well, then Tyler's being...
It was only a matter of time before they fell in line with every other restaurant.
Tyler is being a Chick-fil-A responsible. It's good.
All right, here we go. Let's get to the first question.
I'm not going if I can't get my... Get as many
I need at least 12
want.
Sauces for one nugget. Okay?
For one, yeah, dip them in like 43 times.
Who is the starting quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams right now?
Matt Stafford.
Matthew Stafford.
Thomas Andrews' favorite quarterback is?
Correct.
That is correct. Tyler, we're on to question number two. Which country was Steve Nash born in?
He's from Canada, right? I want to say Canada.
He's going
from Canada.
Not right.
I wish I had
Not
a buzzer.
Not from Canada.
That way. I wish I had a buzzer that was like, hey, no.
Crisello.
I really thought he was born in Canada. So
of course he did. Was he born in Uruguay?
I will try that. Uruguay.
You're going to try Uruguay.
I'll try Uruguay because Canada was my answer. I don't know.
All right. All right. Of course not.
Damn. Of course not. He was actually born in South Africa.
He was?
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that either until just now.
News to me. Tyler, you're still alive.
Tyler, moving on to question number three, a chance for that Vegas vacay. Here we go. So many to choose from. Who was the first player in Major League Baseball history to hit 100 home runs for three different clubs?
Ooh. Oh, man, that's a good question.
Thank you.
I'll give you a
Thank
hint. You. He's got at least 300 home runs.
Thanks, Tony.
And I'm driving, so you know I'm not looking anything up. I'm on Bluetooth, but I can't even think of a guess.
Give us something.
Give us something. Tony.
Give us something.
Tony with the good clue. He's got at least 300 home runs. And guess what? He's got 100 for three different teams.
Is it October? Oh, no, it's May. Sorry.
This is a third question. I want to throw a name out there just to throw it out there, but I can't. It's not. Yeah.
You missed my hint.
Manny Ramirez. I don't know.
He gave you a hint. He gave you a great
Manny
hint.
Manny is not it.
He
Hell
did
over
give you a
steal.
Hint. With the Angels, the Yankees, and the A's, Reggie Martinez Jackson.
Oh, he even knows the guy's middle name.
Mr. October
Sorry,
himself.
Reginald
All right.
Martinez Jackson.
Do we have another contestant?
We do, but...
But you haven't screened them.
No, but it's up to you guys whether or not we want to keep going with the game or we want to go straight to tiebreaker.
We'll go to the tiebreaker right
Okay.
Here.
All right, we'll go to the tiebreaker. Let's go. Let me check who's on the line real quick. Dylan's been holding a long time, so Dylan's up.
Dylan?
Hey, Dylan.
What's up, guys?
How we
What's
doing?
Up, Dylan? All right, so here's what we got for you.
Good.
What's going on?
Here's what we got for you. Tiebreaker, I ask Elo the question. You tell us if it's higher or lower. So here we go.
Gotcha.
Mr. Elo,
yes.
How many strikeouts did Roy Halladay throw in his career?
2,943.
Cool.
2943. Is it higher or lower?
Let's go higher.
It's going higher. That is incorrect.
Didn't make the 3,000 mark.
Nope.
The answer is 2117.
Oh, I wasn't even near. Missed
no,
by 800.
You're up there. All right, Scraby.
I need to get another guy. Let's go
another
to the longest holding. Oh, there's two that have been holding for exactly the same amount. So, Tony, you say three or four.
Four.
That's our guy, Gilberto.
Gilberto.
You're on the hook, Gilberto.
All right.
Hola, ¿cómo están, muchachos?
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it.
Muy bien. All right. Here's the question.
Oh, gosh.
Hello, did the Lakers finish north of 41 wins or south of 41 wins? No, I can't ask that, right?
I need a number to give.
I need
a
number.
You can ask Gilberto that.
All right, let's do that. Gilberto. Yeah. Did the Lakers finish north of 40 or south of 40?
North of 40.
North of 40.
Is that correct?
I think so.
It's good enough. I think they won 40, actually, didn't they? I don't know. I'd have to double check.
They went 40 and 32?
Yeah. Oh. So they were right
on
40.
No, I think they finished one over that.
Let me check. Just give it to Gilberto. He's a good
guy. Yeah, Gilberto, you got the win anyway, brother.
Congratulations, Gilberto. You're our guy.
We should probably know this.
They finished at 42. They finished above.
Oh, good job. They made it easy.
Good job, Warriors.
All right. Warriors. Let's get to break.
Yes.
When we return, we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs that we got coming up here on Wednesday, how it all went down, and what we should expect. Gwen and Chris, when we return.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, congrats to Gilberto. Good longtime fan of Chris versus the fans. Victorious today in one way or another. Lakers did win 42 games this year, so that was north of 40. So congrats, Gilberto. Well done. And he qualifies for a chance to go to Las Vegas. Give you the opportunity to do the same at 4 o'clock tomorrow, so make sure you're tuned in for that. A couple of quick notes on baseball before we get to these NBA playoffs, Tony. Dodgers lineup is out for tonight's game against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Albert Pujols, not only in the lineup, but batting cleanup and playing first base for the Dodgers. I'm telling you what, the Dodgers are hurting to a certain extent. When you look at their lineup, they got Mookie Betts. They still have Justin Turner. Max Muncy, a lefty, batting third against a lefty. Probably not what they would normally want to do, but that's all they have, healthy. Pujols is batting cleanup. Sheldon Noisy bats sixth. He's playing left field now. And Gavin Lux, who was really the reason they said they got Albert Pujols in the first place because he can't hit lefties, he's in the lineup against a lefty anyway, playing shortstop. So
when you look at their IL list, it's crazy.
Yeah, too bad.
It's absolutely crazy.
Heartbroken.
And it's one of those things that they're just going to have to try to, you know, we've been talking about the Padres needing to try to tread water. They're going to really have to tread water because a lot of those guys aren't coming back soon. Maybe Bellinger's the closest, Maybe Price is the closest, but the rest of them, I mean, they moved Gonsolin to the 60-day IL today.
Yeah, Gonsolin won't be back at all.
That doesn't seem close.
Yeah, DJ Peters is their starting center fielder. I bet you not too many people could name that. So Dodgers definitely hurting a little bit right now, and kick them when they're down. So go Arizona. Padres don't have a lineup out yet for tonight's game. At least I haven't seen it. There is some question as to whether potentially,
I think there's a good chance if what I'm looking at is real.
Yeah.
I see two guys I haven't seen in quite some time, and looks like Mateo and Jerickson Profar. So I don't know what that means, but
maybe one of them will be in the lineup tonight.
I'm seeing them. I don't know if that means they're in the lineup, but they're definitely out here today.
We'll let you know. The other thing I wanted to quickly mention, I'm playing scoreboard here just for fun. It's early. Giants 1, Reds nothing. They're in the second inning. Keep a little eye on that game, because if the Reds lose, or I'm sorry, if the Reds beat the Giants, then the Padres would have a chance to go into first place tonight. And wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, indeed.
Sure. All right. NBA playoffs, you said they start Wednesday. They do. They start Wednesday for the Lakers against Golden State. And Memphis and San Antonio play Wednesday. But actually, tomorrow night, there will be Eastern Conference play-in games.
Mm-hmm.
I will not be tuning in, but I'll keep an eye on Boston plays Washington. Indiana and Charlotte also qualified for play-in games. But I think what we want to talk about is Lakers and Golden State. And I like this play-in thing. I obviously, if you're a Laker and a Laker fan, you're coming off winning the NBA title. You don't want to be in this situation.
Right.
But it sure is fun for fans to watch one game to determine which team gets in the playoffs. And if you're the Lakers or the Warriors, you have a little bit of a fallback, because if you lose that game, then you play the winner of the Memphis-San Antonio game on Friday, and then you get another chance to get in. So it's still possible that both the Lakers and Warriors could still make it.
You know what the interesting part about it all is? If you're the NBA, you really couldn't ask for two better teams to be in your playing.
My
game,
goodness!
Right?
What a matchup!
Like it couldn't have worked out better for them, because you know most people would probably not tune in to watch a 7 and 8 seed play, except if it was Golden State and the Lakers.
Yeah.
And so the NBA probably walks away feeling pretty good about it. I actually like the fact that Lakers got to play in these games. They need the reps. When you got guys like LeBron and them who've missed a bunch of time. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for sure. So,
well, it's we mentioned this a little bit earlier, but if the Lakers do beat Golden State, see, I feel there's something at stake for the Lakers here in this Golden State game, quite a bit, because if they win it, they're the 7 seed, and then they would draw an inexperienced Phoenix Suns team in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
If they lose to Golden State, then they would be playing on Friday for the 8 seed. And even if they got that, then they'd have to go up against Utah. And I'm not saying they can't beat Utah. They can. But I think Utah is a much more difficult playoff matchup than Phoenix.
They have both of those teams are really good. But I think you're right. The one thing, both of those teams are built similar. I just think Utah has a little more depth. They can bring a guy like Jordan Clarkson off the bench who can get you 20. Like
he can get you 40 once in a while.
He can get you 40. I'm saying he'll average 20. Yeah. On a good night, he'll get you 40, though, and then do it with quick work. So it's really a tough matchup either way, but I think you're right. I like the Suns matchup a little bit better than I do the Jazz.
Yeah. Well, I think the Lakers they're not going to lose both of these play-in games and get left out. That would be stunning, considering everybody's back and they've won 5 in a row and, you know, they got their health or most of it. The other thing, the way to look at this if you're the Lakers, is had they earned the 6th seed and beat out Portland, and they didn't get it. Portland and Dallas both had the tiebreaker. But if the Lakers had earned the 6th seed, they would already be in the playoffs. However, their matchup there would be Denver. And I think Denver's going to give people some problems in the postseason. I really like Jokic, and this is a pretty good team. So Lakers avoid Denver at least for a while.
There's been some talk that the Clippers kind of just slow played it so that they didn't have to match up.
With Denver?
Those, they tried. They basically just called it in their last game.
They might have. They lost their last two, as a matter of fact. And as a result, they draw Dallas. But I don't think that's a good matchup. Clippers and I mean, the Western Conference always has great playoff matchups.
Dallas took them to seven last year, didn't they?
Yes, you could get Dallas Clippers, you could get Portland Denver, and you could get Lakers Phoenix, and you could get Golden State Utah. Those are four great matchups.
I think this has potential to be a very interesting playoffs in terms of seeing some higher seeds get dumped early.
Yes, we could see that. And then in the East, I don't know, is Brooklyn going to get it all together? Have those guys played together enough? You know, Harden and Durant Kyrie Irving, have they played together enough to topple Philadelphia and Milwaukee? I think that's the big question over there.
I honestly think that third star makes such a big difference in terms of how fast you can pick it back up. Because they played yesterday, and I know it was a nothing game, but they looked really good. And I think barring they can't stay healthy, I think there's a good chance that's the team to beat out East. I really do. But we don't know how – I mean, hamstrings are funny, man. One wrong – and you play – and in those playoff games, man, you play heavy minutes. This isn't like – you're going to be resting. So that hamstring is going to be put to the test for sure for both KD and Harden, although I think Harden's probably the one more vulnerable. He's the one coming off of injury a little bit more recent than Kevin Durant. But I think if they can't – that'll be the thing that stops them, I think, more than anything coming out of the East is if they can't stay healthy.
I am just going to go out on a complete uneducated limb here. I'm picking Brooklyn – versus Denver in the NBA Finals.
Brooklyn and Denver.
I'll be tuning out for that.
I didn't say I'd watch it. I'm picking that. There'd be a lot of star players in that thing. Me too.
Yeah. I don't like any of them, though, because they're all kind of annoying.
What do you mean they're all annoying?
Like
how is Jokic annoying?
How is Jokic annoying?
No, he doesn't even say anything.
If that was the Finals, I'm cheering 100% for the Nuggets. I'm the biggest Denver Nuggets fan you've ever seen in your life.
So you can't stand Brooklyn. Why?
James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant.
What'd they do?
Do I have to bring up the flat Earth thing?
You gotta forgive.
Flat Earth.
Kyrie,
because of Kyrie Irving,
He believes in a flat Earth. James Harden pretty much just cried his way out of Houston, and Kevin Durant just does. He's very soft.
He only won you a couple of championships in Golden State.
Right. Forget all that.
You've already forgotten that.
He's soft. Calls out people on Instagram, but can't be called out himself. I'm out.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, that's my pick. We'll take a quick timeout. When we return, the Big Five is coming up, and we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about today after a big weekend of sports. So stick around. Gwen and Chris, more on 97.3 The Fan.
Download the Odyssey app today to listen to 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back to the program. Gwen and Chris, 435. Bless you, Scraby. You might have heard that in the background. You might not have, but it was a nice thing to say anyway.
I had to all break to sneeze, and I sneezed the second.
You waited right till we came back.
You turned your mic on.
Nice going. This hour in 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. Vote SDCCU Best Credit Union in the 2021 San Diego's Best Union Tribune Readers Poll. That's where you can also vote for Gwen and Chris as
very true
best sports talk show. You go to sdccu.com/vote. That's how you can vote for the San Diego County Credit Union. Haven't made the switch? Open a free checking with Estimates. Scraby, did you type this? Or did you just kind of transfer it from somewhere else?
I transferred it. Why? What does it say?
I don't know. Is an Estimates account online today? Is that accurate?
E-Statements.
Ah, got it. Well,
That's a promo.
All right, let's try this again. Haven't made the switch? Open a free checking with eStatements account online today. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better. Estimates or eStatements.
Next time I'll put a dash between the E and the statements.
I might need a dash.
Okay.
I might need a dash. All right, Tony and I and Scraby. Together after traffic for a entertaining Big Five.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
It's time to embark on a twisting and turning journey through sports. A strange journey.
What can I do? How can I reverse this?
Sit back, relax, and ignore that last part if you're driving. Always have your hands at 10 and 2 with 97.3 on your radio. Gwen and Chris go through the best of the rest of the day. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
You know, before we get started, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to our guy Manny in South Bay. His mother passed away, and he's always been a huge supporter of this show. So just wanted to say that we're thinking of you, Manny, and we're sorry, and keep being positive.
Yeah, lots man, of love out there, Manny.
Yeah, praying for you and your family, brother.
The Big Five is brought to you by Penske Lincoln in La Mesa. Good looks, elegance, sophistication. That's what it's like to drive a Lincoln. And Penske Lincoln in La Mesa makes it uncomplicated and easy. Penske Lincoln, 8850 Grossmont Boulevard. I wish we had like a Big Ten today because we have so many things to talk about. But let's just jump right into it.
Number five.
According to the Louisville, not the Louisville, the Louisville Courier-Journal, a group of bettors have filed separate class action lawsuits in California and Kentucky courts against Bob Baffert, accusing him of a variety of offenses ranging from fraud and racketeering to negligence. The bettors are seeking compensation for money lost in the Kentucky following Medina Spirit's victory. They're saying they lost a potential $54,000 in payouts, and they're also wanting Baffert & Co. to be further punished. So, Chris, being our horse racing expert on the show, as ridiculous as this is, do they have a point?
Are they coming into my courtroom?
Yes, because they're doing it in California, so yes.
All right, well, please get out of my courtroom immediately.
that's all it took?
This is what you get for betting on sports. Look, you put your money down, you take your chances like everybody else. If Bob Baffert is to be fined or suspended or punished, it will be by horse racing, but not by the courts out there. Don't bet on horse racing.
Don't
it's
bet
stupid
on
to begin with.
Well, you know that they did kind of punish Baffert today by saying his horses can't race in the Preakness.
In the Preakness?
Or the Belmont. The Belmont. The Preakness just happens.
Well, look, you take your chances. I mean, the race is run. They made the decision, and you have to live with it. Get out of my courtroom. I have much more important things to deal with in the world than your stupid bet that you lost. Sorry.
Tony, what do you think?
Wait a minute. I retract my sorry.
Okay, you retract the sorry. Okay.
Yes.
I appreciate that. I do. Tony, what do you think about this? As ridiculous as it is, do they have a point?
No, it's ridiculous. Okay. It's not as ridiculous as it is. It's just ridiculous. And because of that, you're getting out of my courtroom as well. Listen, I don't know what to make of Bob Baffert and this whole is it considered doping? What is the exact terminology we're talking
about? Yeah, I guess so. I guess something like that. Or using performance enhancing drugs. That's doping, yeah.
This doping situation. Clearly his horse had something in it. Regardless of how it got there, it's his responsibility. So in some regards, I guess the punishment is necessary, but in terms of these bettors that lost their money, hang with them, player. This is what you do when you gamble. It's the whole thing in the gamble. That's what gambling is.
If you're going to go ahead and allow this into your courtroom, then if the Lakers are losing by 1 point in a playoff game and you bet on the Lakers $100,000 and LeBron James misses two free throws with no time remaining and they lose, you're therefore telling me that you ought to be able to call up LeBron James on charges of negligence for missing two free throws and costing you a chance to win a game.
I know where you're going, but it's not the same thing.
It's similar.
How is it not?
It's close
enough.
Because
LeBron didn't missed free throws and test positive for
PED. All right,
PED.
Well, there's players that do test positive for PEDs, not LeBron. But
in this example, we're
in
not
baseball
talking about real life.
And football, you'd have to go back 10 years and start throwing out all the Cardinals and Cubs games that Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa homered in. Forget about it. This is ridiculous.
I've been calling for that for years.
Ridiculous.
Number four.
Steph Curry and the Warriors have snuck into the play-in game against the Lakers this week. Now that the regular season has ended, the MVP debate can begin, and I can't speak, so let me just keep going to the quote from LeBron James, the commissioner of the NBA. Quote, I mean, just look at what he's done this year. I don't know anything else if you're looking for an MVP. If Steph is not on Golden State's team, what are we looking at? End quote. Steph the Chef clinched the second league scoring title of his career yesterday, joining Michael Jordan as the only players in NBA history to win a scoring title at the age 33 or older. He also joined Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the only players with multiple scoring titles, MVPs, and championships. Tony, did Steph Curry do enough to win MVP in your eyes?
First of all, put some respect on Adam Silver's name, all right? You over here calling LeBron the commissioner. Put some respect on Adam Silver's name.
Okay, Adam Silver is a good commissioner.
Secondly, yes, I think Steph Curry is the MVP. I think he has done enough. That team, that Golden State team, is really just Draymond Green and Steph Curry. And Steph Curry supplies almost all of the scoring. Because, you know, we'll see a line from Draymond that's like 4 points, 20 assists, and like 12 rebounds, right? So the scoring has come mainly for Steph Curry, and he looks for Steph Curry every time. So I think based on where he's gotten that club, and you can't forget, Embiid's missed a whole bunch of time. There's been mostly all of the people that are in the running for MVP, with the exception of Steph, really, have missed a lot of time. A lot of time. And so I think that has to be weighed heavily in this decision, and I think that's why Steph Curry should be the MVP.
Chris, what do you think? Is Steph Curry the MVP of the NBA in 2021?
No, he's not going to win the award. There's one guy that I think's been more consistent and been there for a better team and also done everything for his team, and that's Nikola Jokic of Denver. So I think he's going to win the award. To take nothing away from what Steph is, he's marvelous. He's fantastic. He's a Hall of Famer. By the way, if LeBron James was playing Denver in the play-in game, I have a feeling he might tell everybody that Nikola Jokic is the MVP, but this is his way.
Really?
Absolutely. This is his way of putting Steph up there
on
the pedestal. He's playing
him
in a play-in game. He's going to prop him up, say Steph is the greatest thing in the history, and then he's going to try to take him down. I mean, this is the way LeBron James goes about motivating himself. It's not a new thing. Michael Jordan used to do it every year, talk about the great season that so-and-so had, and then he'd sweep him in the playoffs. So, hey, look, Steph Curry is unbelievable. Don't get me wrong. My vote would go to Jokic. It would be close.
Good point. That's a really, really good point, Chris. And you know, most recently, the Patriots do it all the time. Like, they talk up that big opponent they're going in to face on that week in that first playoff game, and then, boom, they punch him right in the mouth.
Yeah. You almost believe it until they say, Tua is the MVP. And then they go ahead and beat him.
Even I take note when someone says that.
Yeah.
All right, you turned it on me, Chris. I kind of buy what you're saying, but forgive me if I don't know the timing. Did LeBron and the Lakers know that they were already playing the Warriors when he made these comments?
I think it was pretty much settled that they were going to play the Warriors.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, then I buy it, Chris. Good breakdown.
Number three.
To the NFL, former rookie standout wide receiver with the Panthers, Kelvin Benjamin, has had a really hard time getting back in football ever since a few stints in 2018 didn't pan out. But he has now found his new opportunity as a tight end with the New York Giants. He's a pretty big dude, actually. He's 6'5", 245 pounds, might be even more in some of those pictures you see from back in the day. I shouldn't be making any weight jokes as I'm trying to lose weight. At the last roster listing, he was 245. So, Chris, do you think this transition will work for him?
From speedy wide receiver to tight end?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of weight to add.
That's what he was at wide receiver, 245.
Yeah. I think it's possible in this day and age because tight ends aren't necessarily like they used to be many years ago when everybody but Kellen Winslow was basically just another offensive tackle. And I'm talking about Kellen Winslow Sr., by the way.
Yes.
But no, the tight end position is definitely developed into a hybrid wide receiver anyway. So as long as he can block some, he can probably play some tight end. So good luck to him. It seems like an interesting, you know, opportunity. Obviously, tight end is the go-to position for guys making comebacks these days. Tim Tebow is going to try it. Now Kelvin Benjamin figures if he can do it, so can I.
Do you think Joe Judge and the New York Giants heard about Tim Tebow and they're like, hey, maybe we should get Kelvin Benjamin?
I have no idea. Anybody who played football in the 1990s and wants a strap on a helmet, sign up for tight end.
Well,
see what
yeah,
happens.
I read further about it. And the idea for how they're going to use him, if they do use him and have him make the team, is not bad. He's going to play like a slot wide receiver / slot tight end. So yeah, it's not a bad.
We'll see what happens. He's still got a lousy team he's on. Does Tebow, by the way.
Do you think this transition will work?
It could. Calvin Benjamin needed some humble pie.
Yes.
When he was in the league last time. Wasn't it him that was going after Cam Newton that day? Like they were kind of got into a little tiff.
Oh, I do.
After he was
that.
Traded to the Bills, Cam Newton went to shake his hand
and then
he like
slapped it away or something.
Slapped it. Yeah, he just was a jerk about
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then he proceeded to like complain about being the best wide receiver.
About
so
that.
He got a little humble pie. And I actually think this can work for him. He was already way too big to be a wide receiver anyway. and now moving to the tight end position, I think Calvin Benjamin could actually have a chance to kind of rejuvenate his career a little bit. So, yeah, I think it can work. But he also has to be a decent teammate. That seemed to be one of the issues why he ended up out of the league,
yeah.
Right? He went from, like, the Panthers to got traded to the Bills after, like, his third season. And I think he did some Saints stint. Yeah, he was shortly then out of the league. So, yeah, I think it can work, though.
Thank goodness he's making a comeback because I, frankly, have not been able to watch NFL football the last several Sundays of the last several years without him.
He was a great fantasy player.
Did everybody
for me
miss
his
him?
Year.
Did anybody,
Franklin? I miss the old.
No.
I miss the
no.
old Kevin Benjamin.
Nobody missed him.
The old one points. That actually was good at Florida State. Right?
Yeah,
although
that one was
rookie
pretty good.
Season too.
Yeah, his rookie season was really good.
Yeah. And then I think he caught the winning touchdown in the national championship game.
From?
James?
Yeah,
that was a while ago.
Twitter started calling him Cheeseburger Eddie when he was out of the league because he looked like he ate a few cheeseburger burgers.
Well, that's nice.
Actually,
for Twitter, that's not even mean.
No. That means they love you. That means they love you.
That's not even close to mean on Twitter.
Number two.
I mean, I'll just say that West Coast sports media is kind of soft compared to what goes on with the East Coast sports media. I don't know if you guys saw this, but a good old-fashioned manager confrontation is taking over Twitter right now, and the Philadelphia Phillies media is trying desperately to get an answer. I mean, that's a manager-player confrontation is what I meant to say. Joe Girardi, the manager of the Phillies, was seen yesterday having a heated exchange in the dugout with second baseman Gene Segura during a 10-8 loss to the Blue Jays. Segura committed a pair of errors in the game, which apparently didn't sit well with Girardi, and Segura didn't appear to like the constructive feedback from the skipper, needing to be restrained at one point by the team's third base coach. But after the game, here's an exchange between Girardi and a reporter that got a little weird.
Joe, conversation or confrontation?
Next question.
How about the optics of all this? I mean,
Next question.
I mean, it just from
Jimmy,
baseball.
I'm not going to talk about it, Jimmy. I'm not going to talk about it. Next question. You got a baseball question? Ask me a baseball question.
Joe, conversation.
So that was Joe Girardi and a media member yesterday. Obviously,
Jimmy.
Hey, yeah,
boy,
Jimmy. Sorry. I should have known. It was Jimmy.
Jimmy tried three times, went 0 for 3, struck out.
He struck out, but he kept going. All right. So, Tony, we've talked about this a few times. I've already asked the obvious question. So let's talk about this. Would it be better to just answer the question rather than keeping it a secret?
No. No, it wouldn't be better to answer the question. Here's the deal, right? In a vacuum, it's not that big of a deal, right? I mean, you got a bunch of alpha males in the locker room. They're around each other almost every day. You know, somebody's going to be a little sensitive at certain times, right? In terms of your question, right, I don't think it does any good necessarily for your ball club to go into detail of what that whole situation was. You could pretty much figure it out on your own. You don't need him to answer that question. Now, Jimmy, I believe Jimmy. The reporter's name was Jimmy. I think he was within his right to ask a follow-up. And then after the third one, we've been over this before. If you're not going to get the answer by the third time asking the same exact question, time to move on.
Is the strategy to maybe annoy the person into admitting whatever happened?
No, I don't think the strategy is to annoy. I think they are trying to prod to see if maybe, you know, he'll change his mind after the third way he asked. Because sometimes, you know, honestly, it happens, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes you can ask a question enough to where it's like, you know what? Fine, I'll tell you. But in this case, I think Joe felt like it did him no good in terms of how is that going to help the situation inside the locker room. You know, clearly Segura was a little sensitive about being told that his effort was subpar. And so he reacted, and that happens. That happens all the time.
I think Joe Girardi should have just gone the rat-coon route.
No, because you see, we're still talking about the rat-coon. So that probably wasn't the best way to go.
Chris, what do you think? Do you think, would it be better just to come out and answer the question rather than keeping it secret?
I got a few things on this. We are unbelievably soft in this society in this day and age. I'll go back to the 1970s. New York Yankees, Boston Red Sox, Reggie Jackson makes a lazy play in right field. Billy Martin, the manager of the Yankees, from the Fenway Park dugout, takes him out of the game while he's in right field, sends a replacement out for him. Can you imagine being the guy having to run out there and tell Reggie, hey, Reggie, Billy wants you to come out of the game right now.
Embarrassed didn't even want to come out to the game either.
Embarrassed him in front of a national television audience. Reggie Jackson went into the Fenway Park dugout, and he and Billy Martin started throwing punches and had
yes,
to be
did.
Separated by Yogi Berra and every other Yankee
That's amazing, actually.
Personnel that was there. Nothing happened here. Joe Girardi got upset at a guy for making a couple of lazy plays, and the guy didn't like it. It's not even a story. It isn't even
worth our
time.
It's not.
But I can understand in this day and age why you have to ask the question. The only thing I would say to Joe Girardi, if he had to do it all again, if you're going to say, next question, you're egging the guy on to ask you again. And if you're going to say next question again, you're egging him on to ask again. All you have to do is say, I really don't want to talk about that at this point. It's no big deal. We've moved on from it.
You might have
to deal with it one more question again. But I think the next question thing can kind of make the reporter a little upset and force him to ask you again. That's the only thing I'd say to Joe.
Notice after the first two times he does what Chris says,
yeah.
And it seems like it starts to temper down.
Yeah.
But by saying next question, it's almost like you're sticking your bird up at him. And he's like, all right, well, I'll just ask again.
Yeah.
And you're just going to be combative at this.
Oh, point. Yes. That's what I really love. A reporter manager fight.
I cannot believe that a guy missed a ground ball and got mad, and the manager gave him some critique, and the player got upset.
Like,
and this is a story. This is what baseball, this is what our society has become. Soft. Everybody has to get a trophy just for showing up.
Do I need to reel him in?
Get off my lawn!
Do I need to reel him in?
Number one.
All right, this one is quick and simple and easy. This question came from Twitter. @RyanCowboy asked us, would you want 1998 Steve Finley or 2021 Trent Grisham? Chris.
Well, Trent Grisham's playing some great ball right now, but hasn't done it as long and as consistently good as Steve Finley did it leading up to and in 1998. So if you ask me on May, whatever we are, 17th, it's a little early in the season for me to give Trent Grisham the nod over a very, very good player in Steve Finley for an entire year in 1998. So I'll take Steve Finley respectfully.
Tony.
Yeah, man, that's a tough one. I mean, we're talking like right now at this very second. I mean, I still probably take Fins, man.
All right.
It was just that's. I mean, but that goes to show you how good Trent Grisham has been.
Yeah, right that now. You can even make the comparison
that I'm having
right now.
That tough of a time making the decision between the two.
Yeah, because Finley was a great.
I'd probably go with Finzo.
Yeah, Finley got him, let him help lead him to a World Series. When Trent Grisham does that, then ask again and you probably get a different answer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.